Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you and praise you and honor you. And we're reminded of your goodness and your grace and your mercy towards us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue this morning, that our hearts will be filled to the full with the knowledge of your will. I pray, Lord, that your love that goes beyond all understanding, Lord, would penetrate our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would just be captivated by who you are and motivated to lay down our life fully and completely, Lord. God, I pray that on this week where we enter into a celebration of Thanksgiving, I pray that our attitude, our hearts would be that of gratitude, Lord, that we'd be a grateful people, grateful for who you are, grateful for what you've done, grateful for your faithfulness. And Lord, now I pray as we get into your word, I pray that your word would get into us, that it would transform us, Lord, and make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Before you sit down, can you say hi to someone, please? Okay, everybody, come on in. Have a seat. Come on down. All right. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them out. And if you need a Bible, just go ahead and put up your hand. We'll make sure you get a Bible. Does anybody need a Bible today? Okay. And turn to Psalm 92 this morning. So we're going to shift from our regular programming today. In light of Thanksgiving, we're going to look at gratitude this morning. But before we do that, we do have a few announcements. Today is the last day for our Operation Christmas Child, and so make sure you did a box, get that turned in by the end of service. And please remember to keep those boxes in prayer. Also, our holiday schedule, things are a little different through the holidays. For example, this Wednesday, we will not have service, Thanksgiving being the next day, of course. And then we are having our church-wide Christmas party, and it's just sort of our way of coming together as a body of Christ and celebrating his birthday, and also just a time to spend together as a whole body of Christ in fellowship. A lot of times we're just rushed, and we come in and out, and we're just going to sit and have fellowship, eat, and have Christmas tacos. Feliz Navidad. So we do encourage you to invite friends and family. We'll be sharing the Christmas message and, of course, an evangelistic message as well. Also, we have our kids doing their gingerbread party. That's December 7th at 12 o'clock, and it's in room 1085. There is signups for that upstairs in the Children's Church room there. So if your kids want to go to that, then please have them sign up for that. Also, please keep in prayer our San Antonio missions team. They're going to leave after service today and go minister to young ladies there that sort of have been disenfranchised and are basically the highest risk teenagers in the state, really. So please keep our team in prayer as they go down today after service. Our last corporate prayer meeting of the year is December 19th, which is a Thursday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We just had last Thursday, we had our corporate prayer, and it was amazing. And just something that the Lord put on my heart during that time is that he would teach our church to be a church of prayer. And so that's, I pray that would be the most attended service that we have in our whole congregation, that Thursday night corporate prayer. So please pray about attending and pray just that we would be a congregation of prayer. So also, I think the last thing I have is to continue to pray for our Haiti missions work there with Pastor Brian and the Bible Training Center. We did get an update from Pastor Brian, and he said the gangs are closing in even more to the Bible Training Center. We're going to show you a picture of our beloved Mackenzie. He's on the roof of the Bible Training Center there, and he's shooting at gang members as they're coming. And some of you have been to Haiti with us. He's a wonderful brother that we love so much. He's been our protector when we go to Haiti. And the good thing is there are also 20 police on the roof with him and a sniper team with him as well. But it just kind of gives you an indication of how serious this is and desperate it is. That's not to mention all the issues with food and electricity, water, all those things. It's just is about as bad as you can get. So let's be thankful for them and the ministry and God's protection, and please keep them in prayer as well. All right, so if I can draw your attention to Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4, and this is going to be a little more of a topical message this morning, a little different than what we normally do, but we're going to look at the enormous effects of gratitude. Like, what does gratitude actually do? Have you ever considered just with the act of giving thanks to God, like, what does it do? Is there, like, some benefits to that, or we just do it and that's it? Does it just benefit God, or do we get some benefit out of it? So the title of the message might give the answer away to that, the enormous effects of gratitude, that there are enormous effects of gratitude. So in Psalm 92, verse 1, it says that it is good to give thanks to the Lord. So there it is. When I go through the Bible and I see things like something's good, I really pay attention to that. And here is one of those Psalms where it's saying it's good to do that. So at face value, we can at least say, well, the Bible says that's a good thing to do. So out of obedience, we could just be people that say, well, God says it's good. So we give thanks to the Lord. It's something that we do, and it's good, and it's important. But notice what he says right after that. It says, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. So you see this thankfulness and praise sort of intertwined, especially when it comes to music. So as we just worship the Lord in music, I don't know if you had experienced just sort of a lifting of pressure and a stress you have experienced in the times of worship where just this joy fills your heart. What all is going on there? Well, as we worship, there's just something supernatural about the act of praising God and thanking Him, that it does something to us, something that we would know experientially. Just, it feels good to do that. And then notice in verse 2, he says, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. The point is that would be something that is a continual part of our life, not just on Thanksgiving. Although it's great that we have a day in our country where we set it aside to think, at least that's the intention, set a day aside where we think about it. And may that be a springboard for us this year to sort of remember how important it is to be thankful. And maybe it might be a little convicting as well to realize, you know, I've spent the last 3 months not being thankful. I've spent maybe my whole year complaining about everything that's wrong. And so maybe this is a time to just really consider and reset what Thanksgiving is all about. Notice in verse 3, he says, on an instrument of 10 strings, on a lute, and on a harp with harmonious sounds. So that's the expression of praise and thanksgiving through music, which I believe is just so powerful in our life. And then he says, for you, O Lord. So notice something, it's very personal, isn't it? He's not just giving general platitudes, sending, you know, good tidings into the universe. It's personal, and that's very important if we're going to understand what giving thanks is. It's to a person. It's to an almighty God. That's who we're thanking. He says, "You, O Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands." A confidence that the psalmist has as he's praising the Lord and giving thanks to the Lord that he's going to have ultimate victory. So as we look at that, what we understand is that thanksgiving was woven into Jewish culture in Leviticus 7:11. Oh, thank heavens for Leviticus 7:11. That was the thanks offering. That was where they would give an offering of thanks. It was woven into the fabric of their society. Leviticus was given to the children of Israel as a way to institute their culture when they went into the promised land. And so a big part of that was that they were to regularly think about giving sacrifices to God of thanksgiving. And that was to be a regular part of the fabric of their life. And notice that as they did that, it was sacrificial. So giving thanks oftentimes is sacrificial, meaning we don't want to do it or we don't feel like doing it. But we do it anyway because it's commanded. And because it's commanded, we must think, well, if God is commanding this, it must be good to do that, as our text tells us. And if it's good to do that, then there must be some good benefits to me doing something that God says is good to do. But sometimes I just don't feel like it. Sometimes the situations don't warrant me feeling like giving thanks. And that's why it was a sacrifice. That's why God taught the children of Israel to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise. Not only that, this incredible gratitude and giving of thanks that God was orchestrating and putting it into the culture. It was intertwined with praise and music. It was to be heartfelt. It wasn't to be just sort of a ritual or routine where you weren't conscious of what you're doing. You know how sometimes you go through the checkout if you actually have a person. Now you may check yourself out yourself, but there's a person, and then, you know, on the receipt, it says, thank you. Just a very sterile type of, you know, thank you. But it's not heartfelt. You know, I can imagine a person working at, say, neighborhood Walmart, and they're checking out hundreds of people during the holidays, and you get into a routine, and you just say thank you, and it's not heartfelt. It doesn't come from your heart. But this thankfulness is so personal, and it's from the heart, and it's sacrificial, and it's something that is life-changing and life-altering. In fact, this understanding of thanksgiving, it's all throughout the Bible, but then we fast forward to the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, actually, in everything give thanks. And it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That tells us an amazing insight and understanding of what it means, that what God wants for us. It's his will. What does God want from us? He wants us to be people that offer heartfelt thanksgiving personally to him in a way of expressing our understanding of who he is and what he has done for us. But if he's commanding it, and this is something that's good, and we're to do it all the time, well, it doesn't seem like possible to do it all the time. But the point is, you know, we don't just go around like a wind-up doll and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and we never say anything else. The point is, our our whole life is to be lived in gratitude towards God. That was the point. We live our whole life in gratitude towards God. But see, here's the thing that a lot of times we don't get. Like, we get it from God's side. Like, okay, that seems good, and yeah, let's do that. And we honor God. But, you know, I think we all say, well, what do we get out of it? You know, our nature is, well, what do I get out of it? And even if we have a good attitude, but the point is, we just give thanks to God, and he gets all the thing out of it. But that's not true at all. We get everything out of it. And that's the point. Gratitude, is what we're learning here, it's this powerful, game-changing, life-altering action that changes the way that we see and enjoy life. That's how dramatic it is. So it turns every Christian into an optimist. And I don't care if your personality is naturally a pessimist. When you come to Christ, and Christ gets a hold of your heart, and his love penetrates your life, and you begin to just give God thankfulness, it literally changes everything about your experience of life in this world. And that's why Satan is so often attacking us and tempting us to be those who complain. And complaining, the Bible actually tells us, is rebellion against God. It's an indictment against God, saying he's not good when we complain. And so to be thinking, and I'm going to go through these pretty quick. I'm not going to put a time limit on it, but if you're taking notes, I'm just going to list seven things that are these enormous effects of gratitude, what it actually does. Maybe that'll help spur us on to be grateful and to be thankful in all things. Just like for some of you health nuts, you know, you take all these different vitamins. This is good for my eyes. This is good for my energy. This is good for my joints. This is good for my digestion. This is good for my hair. This is good for my, I don't know what. But this is what I'm going to tell you today. This is the benefits of giving thanks, of gratitude. Number one, the act of giving thanks in a personal way to God, it brings awareness of his presence. It reminds us of who we are. When we personally give thanks to our personal Lord and Savior, it connects us to him, reminding us of whose we are, and reminds us that he is with us. The simple act of thanking God, it recognizes that God is the source of our blessings, as James 1:17 says, for every good and perfect gift it comes from above. Our gratitude towards God, it gives God the recognition for what's going on in our life. As we give thanks to God, it helps us to actually live a godly life. Have you ever thought about that? Giving thanks to God, it makes us aware of his presence. And being aware of his presence constantly, it motivates us, inspires us to live a godly life. It's so easy to get in cruise control mode. You know, I can't tell you how many of the things I do in life I don't even think about it. It's just so automatic. And you're just going through the motions, and you know, and then there's the little things that kind of just shake you up and just put you into some sort of little reality check or something like that. And that's what giving thanks does. Because again, I want to make it clear that when we're giving thanks, we do it personally and from the heart. And as we do that, then we're reminding ourselves that God is with us. It wakes up our spiritual senses, so to speak, of the reality of God's presence. It brings us into this consciousness of his presence. And like Robert Louis Stevenson said, the man who forgets to be grateful has fallen asleep in life. Like Warren Wiersbe said, thankfulness is the opposite of selfishness. The selfish person says, I deserve what comes to me. Other people ought to make me happy. But the mature Christian realizes that life is a gift from God and that the blessings of life come only from his bountiful hand. And so that's number one, the enormous effects of gratitude. It brings awareness of his presence, motivating us to live for him. Number two, it brings the focus on God's plan. You see, giving thanks, it motivates us to think about and look for what his will is. As we give thanks, and you know, we're doing that in different scenarios and different situations and circumstances, and we know we're to give thanks for whatever is going on, whether it's a very positive, good thing, or whether it's a very hard or difficult thing. But what it does is it shifts our thinking from, okay, one, his presence, but two, then whatever's going on, I'm thanking for it. What's his plan? What's he doing here? What's God's purpose? When we're giving thanks, it brings us awareness. What's God's purpose in this particular thing that is going on in our life? It causes us to think a little bit deeper, a little bit beyond just the superficial living that we do in our life. It keeps us aware that God is in our life and he's working out that plan in our life. When we don't understand something, we thank him for it. We begin to seek God's wisdom for that particular issue. It's like a veil starts to lift. We start to see by faith and not just by sight. And we start to understand that he has a greater purpose in what he's doing, more than what we just see in the moment. So as we give thanks, this veil starts to lift, so to speak. And the fact and the reality that God has a plan that he's working out, it comes to our mind. How many times has something come to our life and we start to wonder, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? And then as we start to thank God for it, then all of a sudden it's like, well, what's happening to me now? I'm thanking him. God has a bigger plan. It brings us aware of his presence, but then, well, he's working out something here in this situation. And that's one of the just such amazing things that happens when we give thanks, and even if we don't realize it. It's the difference in a true believer than somebody that just denies or doesn't recognize that God has a plan and that God is sovereign and that God is personal. It reminds me of a story of H.A. Ironside. So some of you may have heard him, a very well-known pastor, a preacher, and a commentary. He was in a crowded restaurant one time. There's only one seat left, and a man asked if he could sit in the seat that was the only seat available in the crowded restaurant. And H.A. Ironside didn't know him at all, but invited him to sit down. And as the man sat down and sat across from H.A. Ironside, their food was brought to them, and Ironside started praying. He bowed his head and started praying. As he was praying and he finished, he opened his eyes and lifted up his head, and the man asked if he was okay and asked if he had a headache or something, or if there was something wrong with his food. And Ironside said, no, I was praying and thanking God for my food. And the man said, oh, you're one of those, huh? He said, I never give thanks. I want you to know that I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I never give thanks. I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in. And Ironside said, "Oh, you're just like my dog." That's what he does too. But you see that what's different about someone who gives gratitude, especially personally to our Creator, a living God, is it makes us aware that He's with us, and then we start focusing on His plan. But the third thing that I want to mention is then as we give thanks, just in that transaction, it brings alignment to His will. When we're giving thanks, then now what we're doing is coming to a place where we're in that act submitting to God's will. What we're doing is saying in that act, we're saying, "This is right." When we say thanks, we're acknowledging and saying, "I agree with you, Lord. This is right what you're doing. I may not understand it. I may not like it. It may be hard." But as we're saying, "Thank you, Lord," we're saying, "Lord, your will be done. Nevertheless, your will be done." We're aligning ourselves with His will. The benefits of that to us are so huge. When we give thanks to God, we are acknowledging that His way is best, that His ways are perfect. We're saying He knows what's right and we don't. We're saying that He knows best and that His ways are perfect. In that act is what we're saying. Psalm 18:30. It says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven, and it is a shield to all who trust Him." Do you see why Satan is constantly looking to attack us to not be thankful people? You might say it ruins us, being an unthankful person, being a person. If you take that out to its logical conclusion, a person will commit suicide. Because an unthankful person and then starts to view things as everything wrong, everything out of place, and they become hopeless. And that's where people say, "Well, what's the purpose of me being here?" But gratitude in and of itself, it acknowledges that God has a plan and a purpose for our life and brings us into alignment to that plan and purpose. Romans 11:33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." When we give thanks, we're saying, "Lord, your ways are better than my ways. Your thoughts are better than my thoughts." We're saying, "Lord, your ways are unsearchable. You are amazing. You are good. Thank you, God, for your plan. And not my will, but your will be done." Just in the act of thanking God, that's what we're saying. Number four, giving thanks brings motivation to depend on Him. See, as we give thanks, we are acknowledging that God is right and He is good. And when we do that, we want more. We want to be able to have opportunities to tell God He's good. We start to become worshipful people. We start to become people that are sort of living in a different world, not bound by the things of this world, but we're living for another kingdom. As we give thanks in our life now, as we live here in this world, what we're doing is we're saying we're actually living for another world. What we're saying is Hebrews 11:10, that we're actually looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're actually here and living for there. And as we do that, we're saying, "Lord, I'm depending on you." So my life now is being shaped by not by depending on myself, but now we're depending on Him. And that's where we're supposed to be. Has someone ever said to you, "Oh, this Jesus is just a crutch in your life"? I don't even know what that means. He's not a crutch. He's more like a wheelchair or a gurney. And they're thinking they're insulting you. That doesn't insult me. I depend on him fully and completely everything. Put me in a straitjacket on a gurney. That would be more like what it looks like. Yes, I depend on him. He's my everything. And why wouldn't I? He's in charge of everything. He controls the universe. He holds our very breath in his hand. Of course I'm depending on him. Yes, he is my crutch and beyond. And when we give thanks, what we're saying is, Lord, I'm depending on you. And you know, that's the best place to be. When we present ourselves to God as a holy, living sacrifice, we become his responsibility. Now he's in charge of proving how good he is through how he takes care of us. That's why it's so important that we depend on God. And when we give thanks to him, what we're saying is, Lord, you're doing the right thing. You're in my life. You have a plan for my life. And I'm depending on you. I'm putting myself in your hands. When we give thanks to God, we're depending on him. And it connects us to our need for him. Something that's very interesting, when Jesus fed the 4,000. You might recall that story in Matthew 15:35, where he miraculously provided food for all these people. But in Matthew 15:35, we see this interrelationship between giving thanks and depending on God, and then God's working the miraculous. So watch this, Matthew 15:35. So Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took 7 loaves and the fish, and he gave thanks, and he broke them, and he gave them to his disciples, and his disciples gave them to the multitudes, and they all ate, and they were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left, and all those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. But you see this interconnection between just giving thanks, and then as we give thanks, we're depending on God. And as we give thanks, we're depending on God. And as we depend on God, then God works in amazing ways to provide for our needs. That's how it works. So we're starting to get some of the enormous effects of gratitude. We have a few more. Number 5. Being grateful to God in a personal way from the heart, it actually brings our feelings into submission. Our feelings, when we operate and live our life solely based on what we feel like, we are then living our life in the flesh. We are not only living our life on the flesh, but we ourselves are on the throne of our life, not Jesus. Our feelings are not that which will always lead us in the right direction. Our feelings will tell us things many times that are anti-God and that are against God's plan and against God's will. And so as we give gratitude to God, automatically the control of our life shifts from us being in control, and our worship of our feelings, allowing our feelings, we're obeying our feelings, allowing them to tell us what to do and how we should do it and when we should do it. As we give thanks to God, then what happens is we are shifting that control from our feelings to God. These feelings don't like that. Our feelings rebel against our gratitude, because gratitude puts our feelings in check. Basically, when we're giving thanks, we're saying, feelings, you're not the boss. God is. God's presence is here. He has a plan for my life. God is in control, and I depend on him. And feelings, you are not. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to be stoic. You know what that means? Stiff upper lip. That we are Christians and we walk around like this. And we don't let our feelings control us. It doesn't mean that. Our feelings are amazing. But if you picture a train, our feelings have to run on the track of faith. If our feelings get off the track of faith, they get out of control. Have you ever heard of the phrase train wreck? That's what happens. But you take our feelings. You know, some of us are wired in different ways, but whatever way that is, it's amazing when you put it on a track of faith. And those feelings begin to work properly in their proper context and their proper order as submitted to God instead of the other way where their feelings are squashing God. Gratitude automatically puts the feelings in check. It tells them you're not in control. When we give thanks to God personally from the heart, especially when we don't feel like it, I think that's the best. Because now it's truly a sacrifice. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is where it gets really amazing. It's when we really don't feel like it. In our feelings, we're nurturing our feelings, we're feeding our feelings, we're caring for our feelings, we're petting our feelings, and our feelings are just taking control of us, and we're feeling terrible or making terrible decisions. And then all of a sudden we say, thank you, God, for your will. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for me, the plan that you have for my life. Thank you, Jesus, for your will and not my will. And all of a sudden the feelings are crushed, but they're put in their right place on the track of faith. And you know, when we give the sacrifice of our gratitude to the Lord, you know what happens? Our feelings end up catching up. That's where we want to be, where God's in control, we're dependent on him, surrender to him, and then our feelings jump on board of the train, and then we're all going in the same direction with God in his will, and our feelings are like hanging out of the train window saying, woohoo, this is great, this is great. Now we're just filled with joy and gratitude in the will of the Lord. Like, William Law said, he said, if anyone would tell you the surest and shortest way to happiness and all perfection, he must tell you to make it a rule to yourself to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you. He said, for it is certain that whatever seemingly calamity happens to you, if you thank and praise God for it, you turn it into a blessing. And I found that to be true. John Henry Jowett, a British preacher, used to liken gratitude to a vaccine. He says, gratitude is a vaccine, an antitoxin, an antiseptic. And what he meant by that was he meant that gratitude, like a vaccine, can prevent the invasion of a disgruntled, discouraged spirit. Like an antitoxin, gratitude can prevent the effects of the poisons of cynicism and criticalness and grumbling. And then he said, like an antiseptic, a spirit of gratitude can soothe and heal the most troubled spirit. And I found that to be true. Number six, gratitude brings a resolution to anxiety. That's right. Anxiety is fear-based. Gratitude is an anxiety buster. Because gratitude actually acknowledges that God is in control. And because he is in control, his perfect love casts out all fear. So as we give gratitude to the Lord for our situation, it is an anxiety buster. It's very interesting because even secular research is catching up to the understanding of this. In one study, in regards to anxiety, it said that gratitude activates areas in the brain associated with emotional regulation, which can help counteract the negative effects of anxiety. That's in a secular publication. And then it says, by consciously focusing on what you are grateful for, and I would disagree with that. I believe we focus on whom we are grateful for. When we focus on, but this is a secular paper, and it says, when we focus on what you're grateful for, you can interrupt the negative thought loops that often fuel anxiety. You know, it's interesting, but I have found that with anxiety or just negativity as a thing, just pessimism and just negative and a view of life, just everything's wrong and difficult and terrible, you could get stuck there. People get stuck there. And when we get stuck there, it's like everything's bad. And the Bible actually says that to those whose heart is right with God, then everything is pure. In other words, they're able to look at things in a way where you can see the good in things. But if your heart's not right, then everything looks dark and gray. That's how you view everything's a problem. And in a lot of my talking with people and counseling with people, it's amazing that there's really not even a problem. Zero problem. Like if we didn't do anything about the situation and just nothing would ever happen. But see, that's what anxiety does. It tries to make a mountain out of a molehill. It tries to create this monster that is going to overtake us that we can't ever deal with, and it's going to eventually get us. But see, when we give gratitude, it short circuits that, because what we're saying when we're grateful is we're saying God's a loving God. He's in control. I'm dependent on Him. All things work together for good. You know, we have a great scripture. I believe a lot of you are probably familiar with this, but I'm going to read this for you. Philippians 4:6. It's in regards to anxiety, what I'm saying. I believe we're going to put it up on the screen there. But please clue into this, because anxiety is such a huge problem for people. So it says, be anxious for nothing, which on the surface, we can get that in our head. The Bible says don't do that. The problem is, then, how do you not do that? Sounds good. How do I not do that? He tells us. He says, but, what does that mean? Instead of. He says, instead of being anxious, in everything, by prayer, with supplication. So, get this. When we're feeling anxious, there's something that medicine can't even touch. And it's prayer. And we're talking about a prayer that is earnestly seeking God with the understanding that He died for our sins, that He loves us, that He has a plan for us, everything that we're talking about here. And then something comes and stirs us up, our heart, our mind, to really be fearful. And then we come back and we realize, look, hey, I'm feeling anxious. What do? I'm going to start praying. And it says when we're praying, it's in place of this anxiousness, and we're praying with supplication, meaning we're asking God to help us. But here's what's interesting, and here's what will really help you in prayer, is that you're shifting. When you pray, you have to be shifting the problem. Don't just have a mental prayer that doesn't get to the point of actually, by faith, you're shifting the problem to God. That's why he says what's next. He says, with thanksgiving. So let me read that again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So that's the key. What are we doing there? When we're praying and pleading with God and confessing whatever it is to God and asking him to help us, then we always say, thank you, Lord. Why do we do that? Because now he is in control of the problem. And we say thank you because we're saying he's going to take care of it in a good way. If you never get to the place where you're having peace in that prayer, then you're not finished yet. If you're praying and still feeling anxious, you're not finished. You haven't shifted the problem to God. You just prayed and you still have the problem. But there has to come an act of faith where you actually say, Lord, I'm praying, I'm feeling anxious, and Lord, now I'm giving you, it's your problem, Lord. I'm giving it to you. And then you're saying, thank you, because you know he's going to do what's best and right, and it's his problem, and now you're free, and now you have peace. In verse 7, he says, in the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. So it's supernatural. It will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So there it is. That's the solution to anxiety. And I want to tell you, it really works. But then in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue in anything of these things, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Why is he saying that? Because now you don't have to worry about anything. That's God's deal. So now you're free to think about things that are good. In other words, when you have anxiety and you go to God in prayer and you're giving him thanks and you're shifting the problem to the Lord, and you have peace because it's no longer your problem. And you're not leaving that prayer until your heart has peace with God and you're leaving. But now you have to do something after that. And it's, you don't think about negative things, hurtful things. You take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And instead you use your mind to think about God, to praise God. The best way I know how to do that is Scripture. And whenever certain thoughts come, you have to know, you just be like an air traffic controller. You control what comes in and what goes out. You tell those negative thoughts, go away. And you say those good thoughts, you say like air traffic control, you come in. And let your mind then be filled with thoughts of God, scriptures of God, prayer, praise and worship of God. But I can't belabor that too much because we have one more. If that's not enough of the enormous benefits and effects of gratitude, I got one more. I could have hundreds of them, but we don't have time. Being grateful actually energizes our walk. Opposite of that, being negative and critical and complaining and cynical, that's tiring. That's exhausting. Pointing out people's flaws, pointing out the problems with the church, church leadership, the church design, the church methods. Thanksgiving's coming up. You might have people sitting at the table that you have some of those feelings about. Probably nobody here, but you might have some negative feelings and experiences. And I just want to tell you, be grateful for every single person at that table. Be grateful for the table. Be grateful for everything on the table, unless it's cranberry. Be thankful. Some of you like cranberry? I don't know how that got into Thanksgiving. It just doesn't seem right. But anyway, I'm thankful that you guys like it. But I'm telling you, that's exhausting. It's depressing. It takes your energy away. And you know, when we feed into criticism and negativity, we may think it makes us feel better at the time, but it's actually killing us spiritually. The Bible says the Spirit gives life, and that more abundantly. When we give gratitude, we're thanking God and we're basically activating the Holy Spirit in our life, especially when we turn the negativity into praise. And so these points, I think, must be met with the final conclusion of things that we can always, no matter what, be thankful for. I want to give you five things. And I want to encourage you, if you can, to write these down, because I don't care. There's going to be times where you get blindsided and you find yourself in a terrible, anxious, depressive, difficult state. And you can take these five things and you can thank God anywhere, anytime, always for them. Number one, your salvation. If you're saved, you can always thank God for your salvation. That is the greatest thing that has ever happened to you and me. That God took us out of the miry clay. He took us out of the pit. He rescued us from an eternity filled with damnation and judgment. And he took us out and he put his robes of righteousness on us. He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And honestly, that's all we ever need to be thankful for. Until our last breath. He saved us. He rescued us. We are His. We are children of God. He set His love upon us that while we were still sinners, He died for us. We can always be thankful for our salvation. Number two, the Holy Spirit indwelling. His disciples are very concerned that he is going to leave them alone. And he said, don't worry, when I leave, I'm going to give you something better. The Holy Spirit. He's going to come and live inside of you. He will be the guarantee of your reservation in heaven. He'll be the seal of your relationship with me. Not only that, he will lead you into all truth. Not only that, he will fill you with spiritual fruit, which is all that you will need to experience the fullness of God on earth until we're face to face with God. You can always thank him and be thankful to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number three, Scripture. If you have a Bible on your lap or in your hand or somewhere nearby, have you ever realized what it took for you to have that? Have you considered the lengths that God went to make sure that he preserved his word, and here in the 21st century that we have them sitting on our laps, and many of them in our houses probably and in our cars, that it is the word of the living God. And he wanted to make sure that we have it. Do you know that in the 1500s, that there were many people like John Wycliffe who wanted to translate the Bible into English and words that everybody can understand instead of Latin? Did you know he gave his life on a fiery stake to be able to translate the Bible in a language that everybody can understand so that we can actually have it to read and to know God with? Do you realize that there are many people like that who have given their life so that we can have the Word of God? Even the scribes of Israel who are so dedicated to make sure we have accurately what God had told the prophets. And those prophets, what about the prophets? They spoke the Word of God. The Word of God was recorded, and many of them were killed because of the Word of God. We can always be thankful that we have the Word of God. Number four, church. Church, the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters in this world that God has put us together with and fit us together. Do you know the church is so important to a person's life? Without the church, a person would not effectively be able to stir up their gifts, to be encouraged, to see God work, to have a place where other people can gather on a regular basis to share life with and grow. And I know church can be hard sometimes. And I know sometimes churches aren't fulfilling the calling and obligation that God has had for them. But be that as may, you have to know this. Jesus is into church. In the book of Revelation, it says he dwells in the midst of the seven candlesticks. In fact, the church, he is the head of it. So someone saying, well, I'm not in church. I'm into Jesus, but I'm not into church. Well, you're not into Jesus then, because Jesus is into church. He's the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the cornerstone of the church. The Word of God is what's being taught in the church. He is the Word of God. In the volume of the book, it's written of him. So if you're into Jesus, you're into the church. But we can thank God for the church because it's been given to us as a way to help us better get to the place we're all looking for and longing to get. And so be into the church because Jesus is into the church. And then the last thing, heaven. We can always be thankful for heaven. I don't care how bad something is. It's only temporary if you're a believer. And as we look through the Bible, we see several, many people who have gone through just so hard and difficult times. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11 tells us the way they did that is they looked for a city that God made. And whatever we are experiencing in this life, it is only temporary. And God, because of his love for us, will give us everything that we need according to life and godliness to make it through. But don't ever forget, we're going to heaven. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word, your truth. I thank you, Lord, these points that you've just shared with us today, just a reminder of being thankful people, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as Thanksgiving is upon us, that if we have been ungrateful and complaining, I pray, Lord, that we just confess that as a sin. It is a sin. You tell us it's a clear sin. I'm sure we all need to confess here because I'm sure we've all sinned in this way. So please forgive us, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be grateful. Help us to live a life of gratitude. And fill us with the joy that comes from being grateful people, Lord. Give us pure hearts that see the colors brighter, that smell the flowers sweeter, that hear the music deeper. Give us a thankfulness, Lord, that enjoys you in everything, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, and we're going to just finish worshiping the Lord. Maybe it's a song of thanksgiving. I don't know what it is, but. And if anybody is here and you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to just take this opportunity, this invitation here today. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And that means separation from God now and all eternity. But God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so take that offer today. Come to Jesus, admit your sins, and receive him as your Lord and Savior. We're going to have our prayer team up front, and if anybody would like prayer about anything, just as we sing this last song, just go ahead and come up front. They'd be happy to pray for you guys. Happy Thanksgiving.